Blog Talk Radio.
1,000 of my people trying to party. No time for the party getting started. I feel spunky, babe. I'm spicy, babe. I'm not cocky, babe. I'm all that in the bag of chips. I'm cool, babe.
I'm cool, babe.
Like an icy, babe.
Like an icy, babe.
You might wife me, babe.
Oh, yeah.
People, this your girl, the one and only Miss Chocolate, and we are tuned in with me, Miss Chocolate, on the Miss Chocolate Show. Today we're going to have Herman Henson. Henson is Hit and Son, okay? Right here on WMQP 107.3, the legend himself. Him and Stella, Miss Rose, you know, his guitar, and we're going to talk about a lot of good things that he have done in the history of music and a lot of people that he have been around. So y'all stay tuned in because this is something y'all definitely, you do not want to miss this, okay? This man done been around a lot of big names, and I just not going to tell you right now. I'm just going to let him tell you because it's good to come from the horse's mouth. All right, so we're going to keep going, and we're going to play some for you. How you doing today? Hello, how you doing?
Hey there.
Yeah, you live on air? Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead and introduce your name to the world.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here with you, my sister. I'm Herman Hitson. I'm Herman Hitson, and I'm an entertainer musician and played so many places I can't remember. And I'm still here. I'm 80 years old now, and I got to Atlanta here in 1963, and I've been in and out of here ever since. So, that's who I am. I'm a recording artist, and my first record that I did and my first recording, I was in 1963 here in Atlanta, Georgia, and it scared me to death because people liked it, and it was a hit. So. So I'm proud to be here with the great sister. You know, she's strong and you know, she nonstop, you know, going forward. So
thank you. So we're gonna go ahead and get to the good stuff. Now, Herman, you have been around a lot of great hits. Give us a little more detail because we are live on air and we have people all over the world tuning in from overseas to Canada to the whole U.S. and Ireland. Okay, so Mr. Hit, like I was telling them earlier, I don't want to give out too much of the good news and stuff. I'd rather for them to hear from you. Tell us a little bit about your journey with your music, like some of the people that you tour with and was able to be a part of.
Well, the thing is, I got here in Atlanta in 1963. That was so great when I got here. I hadn't shown nothing like that before. Yet. I was about 19 years old, and I was coming from Florida with my group by way of Jacksonville and on tour, you know, and the last stop was going to be here in Atlanta. And that's when it amazed me to see all these black people in one place and all these great entertainers. And I had a gig. I had a place to play to when I got here. And it was a group that I loved called the Atlanta Towns. The Atlanta Towns. And when I was in the Jacksonville, and I was listening to those guys, and I said, man, I'd really like to see those guys. And then they're the first group I met when I got here in Atlanta. The first one that I really heard singing live, I didn't see him, my gig was that day at Morocco Lounge. It was right on Piedmont and Auburn. And I heard this singing. And I said, man, that's Major Lance. And he was upstairs in the Peacock. And it was like you was in Vegas. Now you come, you see all the music coming from everywhere. And then here comes Sam Cooke, Jackie Wilson, and all of them. And then my record broke. I was dying to meet these guys, and then they ended up coming to meet me. So all this happened during my life, and that was my first record. And
what was the name of that song?
It was called Been So Long, and that was the A side. The B side was Georgia Grind, but both of them hit at the same time.
Okay.
You see, and some people thought it was James Brown. You know, even one of his wives thought that until they met me. And I had a gig in Augusta, Georgia, and I didn't know my record was a hit. So, you know, we're driving down there, and I thought I was dreaming. Here I was on the radio, and I get in town, and these people jumping around, and my record playing, and they dancing and all that. It was called Georgia Grind. It was similar to a shout. It made me want to shout, but not exactly like that. And so that was a real hit then, so... That's when James Brown really came, Mr. Brown. Well, I don't want to call him James. I got to call the brother Mr. Brown, because he never called me nothing but Mr. Hitson. So he came to me. He said, "Hey, brother, you're number one James Brown, brother." I said, "Yeah, man, you're right about that." Yeah, so I ended up playing around with all these guys, you know. I never played in James Brown band or nothing like that. You know, we just played on some of the gigs together. And, you know, we was like brothers. He called me little brother. I called him big brother. You know, and so, and Leon Austin and people like that. And the Purser Sledge and Joe Tex. I really miss those guys. You know, Sam Cooke, Jackie Wilson, I really miss them. We would get our hair fixed in the same barber, and we would talk about a whole lot of stuff. Jack and I went to court with Jackie too, because something happened in his room in his absence, and he had to go to court on it. So I went with him, and that was during the time when the jail was down there on Decatur Street. So I traveled with O.V. Wright. You remember him, O.V. Wright? So many. Joe Tex and I, you know, we went to so many countries. I can't remember all the countries we went to. But him and I and me and Mrs. Jones, him and I, and Joe Texan. Yeah, you know, it's been, you know, traveling from country to country. You know, the same way here, you know. You travel from state to state, but it's the same thing, country to country. You know, and so it was very good, you know. And B.B. King and I, you know, we were playing it was this big club on Bankhead. I'm trying to figure the name of it now. It's still there, but it's not a club. So many big artists played there. But we was playing. It was Joe Tex, me, and B.B. King. And you know, we'd be in the dressing room together. He wanted my guitar, Sweet Rose, to meet his guitar, Lucille. So he passed me Lucille, and I passed him Sweet Rose, and we sat down, and, you know, we played a while, you know, and had fun. But one guy called the Mighty Hannibal, he was such a great brother, and his wife, Dee Dee Gartrell. And we come up with a song, where they come up with a song called it was doing the Vietnamese War. So it was called Can You See What You Done Done? You know, it's a great song. It busts wide open, so.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's the deal. Maybe, you know, my band was called the Herman Hitson and the Rockin' Tonics. And that's when that was my first recording. And there wasn't no separation in recording. Everybody just got right there and played together. Any mistake you made was still in there. You couldn't take it out. You know what I mean? And you know, you couldn't make
it.
Yeah,
I had to go with the flow. Won't no editing, none of that going on.
Yeah. So I remember James, Mr. Brown did this song. when he spelled Augusta wrong. Augusta wrong. He said A-G-U-S-T-A, Augusta. I said, man, you was spelling it all wrong, man. He wouldn't take it out, though. He wouldn't take it out. A-G-U-S-T-A. I said, man, what?
He spelled Augusta wrong, but, Jane Brown.
Yeah.
So you and James Brown had a good long history. You and I know a lot about your history because my goddad Cy Young was able to bring y'all to the radio station in Raleigh, North Carolina, Cy Young, and y'all was doing a lot. Like back then, it was a little bit more. Yeah. Kind of easier for y'all to get out there because the way everything was going, it won't like it is now. It was like more, you can easily contact people, you can easily get in contact with the artist or the manager or the record label. It was more easier to do things then. Everything was more word of mouth or black and white or radio
Everything was great. You understand? During our time coming up, you know, that's when I met your uncle there, Charles Gill. Charles Gill. I met him, and he was a bad. He was a great young brother too. I got to give it to him. And you know, he was smoking his cigars, and you know what I mean. Gorgeous George. I took him down, let him meet Sam Cooke, and all this stuff, and that's when he took off, really.
Yeah.
So
you also did some stuff with Rick James a little bit, or you met him?
No. I never did play with Rick James. I just knew Rick James.
And
I would play my guitar, and he would play his bass. And, you know, we just sit around, you know, not just him and I all the time, you know, many of us. One time Jimi Hendrix was with us. You know, me and Jimmy got together, and we recorded in 1966. You know what I mean? During that time, it was great, I'll tell you. Woodstock, man, oh, man, oh, man.
Everybody was willing to help each other back then, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, proud children. And everybody. Yeah. You know, all the civil rights song and the peace song. Come on, people, now smile on your brother. Everybody get together and love one another. You know what I mean? Those kind of songs. A war song. And then Jimmy did that doggone boy. I sure miss that young man. I sure do. Well, I miss all those guys, really, to tell you the truth.
You're doing good for you to be, you know, a legend in this music business, and you still going at it. Even you and Jesse James, y'all some real strong brothers.
Real strong. Jesse James, that's my great friend, Sure is. Yeah, we always been friends. And I guess I've been knowing Jesse 10 or 15 years, maybe.
Okay. So let's go ahead and talk about this music that I have for you. Okay, we have I Should've. Okay, the first song. Yeah, I should have been home. Now, what was this song about? What made you come up with this song?
Well, the thing is, you understand, you get like a daisy, because you know you have your greatest half with you know your wife and all this stuff here, but then you know you get pulled off the off the road, you understand, by hanging out somewhere else and going out with other people when you know you got to go home, you should have been home. So in the neglection of why you doing that, thinking are you all of that? Well, see your partner looking at another way. You see what I mean? And now you come home one time, you think everything all right, and you get in there, you look around, everything in there is gone, and she gone. And then you say, man, I should have been home. I should have been home. You know, I shouldn't have left all alone. I should have always came back and make sure I appreciate her. But, you know, you end up hanging out in bars and stuff like that with other people doing drugs and all, and you're staying out and all that stuff and neglecting your partner. So naturally, that's going to bring on another separation. But then the surprise shouldn't have been a surprise. But then, you know, I should have been home, you know. And I did another one called Woman Stealer, you know, on the same thing. You see, you messing around with somebody else, going to get your woman. You know what I mean? Because, listen, your woman is your other half. And then the thing is, she needs you, and you need her. But then, you know, we get separated by foolishness and listening to other people and then over the road and letting people come in your house. You know, like, hey, I just tell her, you know, to let you in, and I'll be home in about an hour. You know, just go there. You're not going to do it. And tell her, I say, let you in, let you stay there till I get back. So that's the thing is, that's one of the first mistakes. You see what I mean? And so you end up, you find out somebody then stole your woman, brother. You know what I mean? Woman stealer, because everybody did it. You know, sneaking around your house, then letting them in, you know, and they're looking at your woman and all this stuff. They're trying to be your friend. They don't come to see you, really. They come to see your woman. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about all the time now, but I'm just saying that's a big mistake. It's like B.B. King. If your mother come by and tell her to meet you at the church, you know, don't let the doctor in. He's sick. Just suffer till I get home. You know what I mean? There's no mistake, because how we lose a whole lot of stuff by trusting people. We shouldn't. You know, especially around your woman, man. You know what I'm saying? That's a valuable asset for you. So...
So we're going to play, go ahead and introduce the first song I just said. I'm not going to say the rest of it.
Yeah, I should have been home. And that was the idea, because I went through the same thing. You see, I thought I was all that. I found out I wasn't where is that. You know, I come home and my woman is gone. And so I don't know who got her, Judy or Jody.
So best bet is you got a good woman. You better take your butt home or get home to her. So no other.
Right.
So you won't leave no. And that's another thing. Men and women fail to realize if you leave an open door for somebody else to come in. To take your woman because you're not giving them that much time, or you're not trying to make effort to, they're gonna take your woman, and it is what it is.
That's right, got it. That's right, got it gone, buddy. You know, you found out, man, you should have had your butt home. You know,
exactly.
You're hanging out with a joke now. Yeah.
Exactly. So all you good men, for all you men out there, you better go home to your woman now, because y'all only find one good one out here. right here on WMQP.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All
yeah,
right, we're going to play this right now.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I gotta get out of here. I gotta hurry and get home, man.
QP 107.3 with Mr. Hipson himself, the legend. Now, now the other song, you said Woman Stealer. You said, now what happened with this now? Let's see if you find this
song. Yeah. Yeah, it's based on the same one. You come home, somebody got your woman and gone. You know what I mean? And, you know, the Woman Stealers. I mean, people looking at you and waiting on you. If you're not coming home, you know what I mean? You know, your woman getting lonely too. Now, she's looking too. So the thing is, and you know, somebody come around, you come home, man. You ain't got no woman. So you look around, right, and you find out, man, your woman is gone. But then we got together and had this meeting. So we say the next time we catch them in our community, we're going to put them on their head.
So y'all going to war.
Yeah, we're going to war, but we're going to put them on their butt. Yeah. You know, come around shooting out woman. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Lord. So go ahead and introduce this song to the world, and we're going to play this song right now so everybody can listen to Women, the Woman Stillers.
Well, this song came from me and Joe Tex. Well, it came from Joe Tex, really, because he's the one who really wrote it. I just added other stuff. He always asked me, he would say, man, you need to record that song. And then Little Joe, a Joe Tex song, Little Joe Tex. And he said, man, let's do a song on Dad. And he said, which one would you like to do? Me and you do. I said, Woman Stealer. He said, I figure you're going to say that. And so that's when the academic thing came in. And, you know, we had to lay low on that one. So we know we do it together. So I said, I might as well just go in and go and do it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So I went and did it. And I put it down. So I say thank you, Joe Tex. You're my friend and my brother. And I love you. And we did many, many things, you know, up and down, good and bad. You know, every day, you understand, wasn't successful. It was successful because we were still doing it, you know, but that's how that is, baby. And the Woman Stealer. So brothers and sisters, y'all be careful. Be careful you letting y'all.
All right, you got no Women Stealers, no Men Stealers out here in this world. You gotta be careful. Right
you
here on WMQP.
You better be listen. Listen, the prize come when you go looking for your woman, thinking she with Jody. What's gonna happen when you find out it was Judy?
Oh Lord, Judy on Soldier Woman. I know, right? You thought she was with Jim, and now she's with.
Yeah. You better keep both your eyes open, buddy.
Yeah, you gotta watch out for a man or a woman.
That's right, buddy.
We're going to go ahead and play this song right here, Woman Stella by Herman Hitson on WMQP 107.3 on the Miss Chocolate Show. Let's get it.
Man, I'm getting tired of this. These women steal, man, coming around. Getting your women. You can't even go to work, you come home. You got your woman and gone. The next time I go to work, baby, I'm taking my woman on the job with me. I said, the next time I go to work, girl, I'm taking my woman on the job with me. You better believe that. Cause they got your women stealers out there. It's always the one can't find a woman of his own. Better believe that. There's always that creeping around man who can't find a woman of his own. But he'll come around and fetch the money from your woman. Yeah. And she ain't used the money, you have him gone. Goodbye, bye, baby. Yeah. I tell you what. I called some of my friends. We got to make a stand. We all came together. And we got down and made this plan. The next time we catch you sneaking around, buddy, we're gonna put something on your head. I'm gonna tell you the truth, man. gotta believe it now. Yeah, yeah. The next time I go to work, baby, boy, I think I better take my woman on the job with me. Yeah. Baby. Ooh, I think I better take my woman on the job with me. You better believe it. Cause they got them women stealing out there. Oh, they robbing, they stealing, they hijacking, they kidnapping every man, woman they meet. Yeah.
Not robbing and stealing. Oh, Lord. Oh, what a woman. They're robbing. Yeah. That part always tickled me. Every time I hear that part, I be tickled. He said, I'm going to take my woman with me to work. You go with me everywhere I go.
That's right, brother. Yeah, you might as well get that last sardine cans we got over there in the corner and that Coca-Cola. And get you some soda crackers, put it in a bag, and you're going to work with me, baby. Hey, you're going to work with me. Can't leave you here. Too many of them women stairs out there, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful, man. Yeah. So you're robbing, stealing, and hijacking. And they kidnapping your woman, man. That's critical.
Yeah.
So you look around, boy. Yeah, you look around, man, you think you coming home, man, to a nice dinner, boy. You come on in, even the stove gone.
Oh, Lord, the stove gone. They don't throw the stove.
They got the stove and everything. Hey, you come out looking for something to eat. Yeah, so, yeah, Miss Chocolate, now, I really love you, baby. You understand for your mannerism and your friendship and seeing a strong black woman like you, you know, make us proud. You know, that's what we need. And we need some strong black men, too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not one because you're 50 years old or nothing like that. You know, take something else besides age. You learn a lot of things during your age and all that, but there's other stuff you need to know to balance that out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I'm proud of you, little sister. And I always enjoyed doing the interview with you, you know, and you're just a nice young lady. And
Thank you. Yeah. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Yeah, so let's get to some more stuff about your journey. Because it's some more things that you didn't touch bases on, and I want to. Okay, so with Stevie Wonder, have you ever, like, did anything with Stevie Wonder, any shows, or opened up for him, or he did anything with you?
No, I sit in with him a few times in Detroit at the Mozambique. So I was... I was going down to the 20 grand, and I passed this place in Mozambique. You know, I was a new guy, you know, in Detroit, and he played at the Major Lance in Casino Royale, I think that was the name of it. And I was going down to 20 grand. And I passed this place, and I heard this piano. Oh, no. I said, man, that's Steven. And then I heard Steven. And that's when I really met Steven. And I went in, and I told him who he was. And I told him me and Major were playing down to the Casino Royale, and I was going down to the 20 grand. And it was a place not too far from the 20 grand, you know, on top, It looked like an old house, an old building or something like that. But then you go and then you go down under there. And it's like you're in Vegas somewhere, boy. I mean, everything on that's where I would meet David Ruffin all the time. And he would be sitting at the bar, and then you doing a line here, doing a line there. I do a couple of lines and all that stuff. You know, everything goes down there. So it was like you know, gambling everywhere and weed smoking and coke and buying beer and the top entertainers there, you know what I mean. So and that's when I met Stephen.
Yeah.
And I met a few more times too at the shows. You see, and then my drummer used to work with him a lot, John Carrivo. And with his band, the Soul Chargers, you know, so and then me and Hamilton Bohannon, you see Stephen would come at Bohannon's house, and you know he would spend the night sometimes as well as Marvin Gaye. So that's how I met those guys. Really met Marvin. Now I had met Stephen before though, but that's where I really met Marvin Gaye. And you know we would smoke weed and all that stuff. That you love smoking weed, and I did too. So, Bohannon said, "Man, y'all got to get the hell out of my house."
Oh Lord, you know, kick them out.
Yeah, I was like, "Boy, man, y'all got to get the hell out of me." And then we go outside. It was a little house, you know, past the pool. You know, we go in the little house. Everything was cool out there, you know. And we go out there. You know, he didn't smoke and nothing like that, so. He wasn't drinking either, so. But me and Marvin, you know what I mean? Marvin get on that bicycle, man, and he ride around the block and come back. You know, tell him what he did then.
Yeah, y'all was so bad. Y'all were bad back then.
Yeah, I tell you, man. Yeah, I tell you, then those damn rocks and all that stuff came out, man. And damn, yeah, boy.
I believe that's the reason what made a lot of people in the music industry like fall off.
Yeah, that knocked me down too, boy. I tell you, see, at first they would try to get me to like it, you know, but my mind always tuned it off, and they got me by surprise. So.
Mm.
I'm coming from California. Now I'm back in Atlanta. Now I want me a joint. I want to find somebody who's selling some weed, you know. So, and then these girls say, come, I know who's selling weed. And then, you know, they were selling joints, $1 a piece. Man, when I hit that, man, it started smelling like roses and stuff. And I started feeling funny. I said, man, what kind of weed is this? But it was that rock, man. You know, and you find out one or two million, 1,000 ain't enough. You know what I mean? Because you keep running at the same thing. Yeah, that was a sad pill, boy. They stuck in our community.
Yeah.
But that's how it is.
But that was wrong for them females to... whoever did that was wrong on their part to be selling it to somebody and not telling them what it is.
Yeah. Once you get hooked on stuff like that, you might steal from your mama. It don't matter. That stuff there, boy, I tell you. That would knock many of us out there. Them drugs they threw on us. You see what I mean? Many artists. You see, and some, and a whole lot of them didn't overdose. Somebody killed them and made it look like an overdose. You know what I mean? Because this business, yeah, they call it show business, is show business. You know? And it's like bread. Bread is good as long as it's fresh. You know what I mean? If it gets stale, they got to replace it. And that's the way it is in the music business. You know what I mean? Any other business, really.
Yeah.
So So and then you understand that the you end up, man. You can get through. You make money, but not understanding the fine print of it, and you end up you broke. You see, like Sam and Jackie, you know, didn't have money enough to buy a headstone. You know what I mean? Jackie Wilson, man, that's my man. Blown the teardrop, that boy there. I tell you, that was boy, one of the baddest men I ever seen in my life on the stage. But was singing like that during that time. Yeah, you know what I mean? Frankie Lyman, Lil Anthony, you know? Boy. And I remember Frankie because I was born in Philadelphia like him. And I met him in Philadelphia. Frankie Lyman, that boy there. Yeah. Good God.
Yeah, he has good music.
Yeah, Frankie Lyman and the teenager. Good God, him. And then Lil Anthony. Oh, man, boy. We've had to, they're our ancestors now, boy. We have to always keep them in remembrance, because you know what I mean? Because you don't have to throw away your cassette tape because CDs come in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was never in your history. You know what I mean? All that stuff. We're supposed to remember our ancestors, our people, and our people who brought us in, kept us here, through struggles and all that stuff, there, man. Life wasn't easy with them. You know what I mean? Not easy with us now.
Right.
Yeah, So that was it. But getting back to that woman stealer, man, and I should have kept my butt home. I mean, that's a lesson that we should take heed on that, man.
You know,
and keep our phone, like Wilson said, the grass seemed greener on the other side. You know, amid the same grass. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you be thinking that's your homeboy the whole time, or your homegirl the whole time they plotting to get your woman.
that's right. You look around, boy. Listen, that's when you find out. That's when you got time to really examine the situation. Say, man, I should have kept my butt home. And especially if you see somebody else got it now. God, oh man. Now I pretend I don't care. Yeah, okay. Yeah, the thing is, man, it's just we cause the problem most of the time with our situations. You know what I mean? It's just, it used to be a family thing. It's not really a family thing now. You know, everybody want to be. Oh, this me right here, you know, and you know, there's no man and no woman there, you know, like it used to be there as a mother and a father to raise the children. You know, one parent raising children, that don't work. It takes two. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the thing on that. So we should have kept our butt home. You understand? And raised our children and brought them up. I'm guilty of a whole lot of stuff because I would be in Europe, a whole lot of places. And sometimes I can't get home. I want to get home. Yeah, you know, I want to come home for Christmas or something. And I'd be on 285, and I don't live from there, and couldn't even stop. Got to be in California. God. Boy, so you know, and then sometimes people don't understand that. You see what I mean?
So you should have just brought her with you on the tour then.
Huh?
I said, you should have just broke on the tour with you.
That's right.
You and her and you. Right, back up. Come on, let's go.
That's right. Let's go, baby. Yeah, that's where that deal is, man. Take your woman with you. But the thing is, see, okay, I was in Muhammad Ali's movie with Muhammad Ali. I ain't talking about Will Smith and all them other clowns. I'm talking about Muhammad Ali movie, because the thing is,
what's the name of the greatest
Muhammad Ali, yeah the greatest, you know, well with George Benson.
No, I'm saying the name of the movie was called The Greatest Muhammad Ali.
The Greatest. It's called The Greatest.
The Greatest.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, the one, you know, where George Benson sang, I believe the children of the future.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
long
in that movie, that, yeah, yeah, you can still see them, but if you blink, you'll miss me, but because they edit a whole lot of stuff out. See, but you can still see me. You see, because I was really behind Muhammad Ali, but my wife, you know, I made sure she was there, because Ali said, man, bring her, yeah, I pray her. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, and he told me to bring who I wanted to. And he would give them money, you know, as an extra. You know what I'm saying? So I had some people to come and all that stuff. But my wife wouldn't think of interest like that, like I was. You know, she would sit up there at the bar, you know, and drink. She wasn't drinking then, you know. She would drink a Coke or something like that. You know, sit up there and Bundini and all these cats, Bundini Brown, you know, float like a butterfly. Man, you getting in, man, you don't supposed to get in front of Ali, man. Yeah, man, and I told Ali, he said, man, don't worry about it. But hell, if I got behind Ali, can nobody see me. So the thing is, I didn't have no reason to be in the movie. You know what I mean? I wasn't going to play around for nobody not to see me. So, and then the premiere came here in Atlanta. And it was, it was at the theater right there on Peachtree Street. I forget the name of the theater. The theater right there. So there. In that big old round Coca-Cola thing. Right there in the center of it. And in the premiere. And I was nervous about it. I done told people all this stuff here. And if I take somebody there and then they done edited me out, man, I don't know how I'm going to take it. And I'm sitting in there, I'm by myself. And all of a sudden, the scene come up where I come off the elevator with these two girls. And after Ali went outside of the Regency Hotel, that's where it was down there in Peachtree. And I was behind him in time, and they stopped the movie right there, and they caught me in a still move. Of my hands up like I'm clapping or something. And I said, oh, boy. And I wanted to tell somebody. I said, that's me. And I didn't have nobody to tell. So, yeah. I was kind of nervous about taking somebody because, you know, disappointed. People don't want to believe you in a doggone way. You know what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
So they edited that part out. And they got the part where after that, you know, Ali going to his 67 gold-plated Cadillac. And then you can see me in the crowd. But you have to catch me real fast. If you got something, stop, bam, you got me. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I've been in a lot of, I did a lot of movies, things, and a whole lot of commercials. And, you know, and people call me now, you understand, they still want me to be a part of it, but so I did things, and Kurt Franklin and all those men, and did a whole lot of stuff. We had a filming in Los Angeles. You see,
yeah.
at the Upper Region Room, you know, Chaka Khan, her sister, Etta James, George Benson came. They brought him to my where I was. I was in the back with my guitar, waiting for our set to come on. Me and Joe Tex. So Tyrone Davis. I mean everybody there. You know after our Parisian Room on the Bray and Washington. I think they tore it down now. I think they made a post office. I don't know if they tore the post office down, but. But anybody in the vicinity, I mean, artists like that, after 12 o'clock, you're gonna see people you heard and everybody right there. So yeah. So they were filming all that. I wish I could have got that. And George And George Benson asked me, can he sit in? I said, yeah. I said, can you sit in? Yeah, yeah. I can't think of my man's name. You know, did a record, Jamming for Jamaica. Jamming for Jamaica? What you call him? He was on stage with me. Jimmy Smith on the organ. Jimmy Smith was on the organ. Mm-hmm. And me and myself and George Benson playing guitar. And Chaka Khan and her sister, she called Taka Boom. I was in the middle. And Joe Tex and Tyrone Davis, it was up front.
Wow.
Yeah, so the happy times. And after that, you know, we would stay around Los Angeles, and we'll do a week, and then we'd go to Bakersfield, you know, and do a couple of shows, and then we'd go to San Francisco. And, you know, we'd stay over there for a while, but we were playing. I was playing in Oakland, California, at a club called Mr. Major's. Yeah, and so a guy named Pharoah Sanders, you know, great jazz artist, he was there. And Joe Tex and I and a whole lot of people. So, you know, that's the way life goes, you know.
Yeah. Okay, and we got another song now. You got out called Can't Keep a Good Man Down.
Can't keep a good man, a woman either.
Yeah. So what made you come out with this song? What's the hit in
Well, the thing is, see, I had a hit record on ATCO, you know, Atlantic Records. So the thing is, an accident happened up with me and some guys. And one of the guys died. See, and so here come news coming out, and the police come to get me. And the news went out everywhere, you know, New York Times and everything. They got Herman Hitson for murder. You understand? So the thing is, and then the record companies want to go off my records and stuff, you know? So Atlantic, you understand, dropped me. I had this great album coming out. They stopped that. So even though the court, you know, threw that shit out, man, you got the wrong man. Yeah, you know what I mean? But it's like if you stick a nail in some wood, even if you pull the nail out, the scar's still there. You see what I mean? I don't have no label. I'm going to start my own. And that was in 1969 when I left. So I said, I'm going to start my own. So I went to, I wrote that song, You Can't Keep a Good Man Down, and I put on the other side, Ain't No Other Way. You know what I'm saying? And I went to Nashville, and that's where we went, you know, to get our records pressed up and get a master and get the labels. You know what I'm saying? I went there and I did that. Me and this guy named the Mighty Hannibal, King Hannibal. And that's when I met a great, what we call cowboy. He's one of my favorites. His name was Les DeRue. And I was in the doggone, they was working on my record, so I had time to walk around. And I walked in the studio, I saw all these pictures on the wall, and I didn't see nobody. So I was just looking at the pictures, and this guy said, hey, you know who that is up there? And I knew that voice. I said, man, that sounds like Les DeRue. And I looked around. You know, Les DeRue always wore black and always had a whip. He had a whip. And he had a sidekick called Flip Q Jones. Boy, I used to love that cat. And so that was him. And I was looking at this picture. He said, "Say, you know who that is?" I said, "It seemed like I know him." He said, "That's Elvis." And he said, "He's that Elvis Presley." He said, "That's before he got his nose fixed." Yeah, so it is. So So that's why I wrote that song, You Can't Keep a Good Man Down.
So you met Elvis too? You ain't tell me that, man. So you knew Elvis too? You ain't tell me that. You knew Elvis too?
No, I didn't know Elvis. I know him. He started getting his clothes on Bell Street where we would get ours from. I didn't really know him. This was Lester Root. I was looking at the picture. I was looking at the picture on the studio on the wall, and he asked me, "Do you know who that is? Do you know that guy?" I said, "Seem like I do." And that's when he said, "That's Elvis." And he said, "Yeah, that's before he got his nose fixed." Yeah. So that was something. And so, So I got my songs and I put it on my label, Sweet Rose. Sweet Rose, and I still got that label today. I just added something in, Sweet Rose Express Records. You know, but that's when it happened. It really ended up in 1970. That's when everything was complete. And I started getting play on it, you know. So that's about the story on that one.
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and play Can't Keep a Good Man Down right here on WMQP 107.3. And y'all is tuned in to the legend, the legendary Herman Simpson, okay? Let's rock and roll.
Come again, honey, telling them same lies, oh my friend, trying to turn the whole world against me, honey, after you stole all of my money. But listen, I'll be back on my feet one day, and out of your life, I'm gonna walk away. If you do wrong, woman, I'm gonna put you down. They calling me the biggest fool in town. Listen, no matter what they say, I got that will. Gonna keep on pushing day by day. You can't keep a good man down. No. You can't keep me down. No matter how hard you try, you better listen to what I say. Yeah. I know it's gonna be hard, yeah. Leaving you alone, make a brand new start, baby. But there's gonna be a brighter day somewhere, and all your heartaches and tears, they won't be there. 'Cause you can't a good man down. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you try, can't keep a good man down. No matter how hard you try, you can do it, and all you wanna get, you can't keep me down. You took all my money and left me.
right now, right here on WMQP 107.3 on the Miss Chocolate Show. That was Herman Hinton. Can't keep a good man down or a good woman because we're going to bounce back up, okay? So, now you said you started your own label. Didn't you get a signed deal with another label?
No, I haven't got a deal with another label yet.
Okay.
I'm trying to get signed. I'll get some help on it. You know, it's just taking. It's a struggle on this thing, yeah.
Okay.
So, but I'm still fighting. I'm still fighting the same battle, trying to get this music going. Yeah, I'm like you. Non-stop.
Non-stop. Yep, can't keep you down. Got to keep going.
Miss Non-Stop Chocolate. Yeah, that's good, baby. Yeah, I appreciate you, darling.
Thank you. I appreciate you, too, for doing this interview. Now, there's another topic that we didn't touch. Do you know what I'm about to ask or say?
What?
Okay. The walk in the park.
Yeah, walking in the park. Which one are you talking about? You talking about with the voice or the guitar?
With the voice.
With the voice, okay. Walking in the park. Yeah, I did that. The idea really came. I was at the park on Martin Luther King Drive, with the Adam Bill Park, I guess, and Piedmont Park. So I would be out there a lot. You know, we did a lot of concerts, me and the Allman Brothers and a whole lot of people. And I would be out there, and I would see the people, you understand, holding hands and walking and, you know, sitting around just, you know, just having fun, you know, relaxing and stuff and walking. So that pleasantry there, I said, man, that's beautiful. And I love the outdoors, too. So I sat there with this brother. I'm a drummer called Eddie Maxey. He was a great drummer. May God bless him. And the lyrics began to come to me. And I went and told this guy named Punchy, great guitarist, brother, real, real great musically and everything. So, and he helped me as far as the recording of it, but I'm the one that wrote every part of the lyrics. And actually, I came up with the foundation of the music, and you know, to put it together, you know, these guys, you know, we got together, and it came out like that. But walking in the park, me and my baby, you know, talking about the girl, man, talking about the pretty little girl, you walking in the park holding hands, and you know, sitting in the park, you know, and you know, hugging and kissing and looking at the moonlight, man, and. Yeah, you know, just having fun. So I began to write the lyrics on that, and it didn't take me long to write that. Some songs you can write in 10 minutes. Some songs it'll take you a year to write. You know, so that came real fast on me, so I put it together. And it's a great song, Walking in the Park. And actually, I did it three times. I did it slow with the voice first.
Mm-hmm.
And then next time I did it with the guitar, the same thing. But then everything came from walking in the park, the one we're talking now. You know what I mean, young lady?
Yeah. Well, I don't think people walking in the park no more these days.
No, I tell you, boy. Yeah. I remember we used to have Lover's Lane, boy. Lover's Lane, boy. We going Lover's Lane, boy. We be getting down, man. Oh, man. Lover's Lane. Oh, them way back then in the days too, but in the park and stuff, boy, I tell you. And so, we go.
Go ahead. What you about to say?
No, we would go out in the park, you know, and just stay there, and we'd take my guitar, and he got his sticks, even my drummer, he got a stick, and we just sit up there and come up with songs, you know, and sometimes, you know, we get out there, you know, me and my girl, and we get out there, man, at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and you understand, laying around on the grass, and waiting for the sunrise and all that kind of stuff, you know. And that's where that came from, walking in the park, me and my baby. You know what I'm saying?
And what inspired you, And what inspired you to do music? Like, what was, like, really your inspiration or what drive, like, what made you start doing music to this day, like, before? Because I know, like, back then it was a little bit more different because of, back then of your era, it was more blacks and whites was almost like kind of separate from each other.
Yeah.
It was still racism going on and everything.
Yeah.
But what like inspired you to start writing and start doing music and actually playing the guitar? Like what made you start doing music?
Well, after I came to the, after I came from Ocilla, Georgia, you know, there wasn't no black station. Only you black people singing spiritual, you know what I mean? But you didn't hear no blues and nothing like that. So, and after my mother said, okay, it's time for us to go to Florida, go to Jacksonville, you know, where her brother was. And then my sister was going to come too, which I had never met. So when I got to Jacksonville, that's when I saw all these guys. These blues players, man, and hearing all these songs, man, you know, the jukeboxes and stuff like that, man. I said, and I said, man, I got to do that. You know, man, way back there, man, music was so great. And you see these guys with the do-rags, with the process, and the headscarves on, sitting in front of a fish house or sitting in front of a little old cafe. You know, sitting down on a Coca-Cola crate, and they got the harmonica in their mouth and playing the doggone guitar, and they got a wine bar line that they done broke the neck off, and they're making a slide on the guitar, and they got a fresh bar that they're drinking. And these guys were playing. I said, man, and you see them walking all down the street with these guitars playing, and you hear all this music, man, coming out of these doggone clubs and little old cafes, man, and you know, you can go up there and stick a dime in there, you know, and pick which one you want to play. So that's when I started hearing Jack and them, man, and Hank Ballard in the Midnight. Boy, that was a bad man. He was one of James Brown's heroes, boy. In fact, he the one that got James Brown on King Record. Yeah, so... I started hearing all these guys and then hearing people like Muddy Waters, man, and John Lee Hooker. I said, boy, I got to do that. And so a friend of mine, I was singing with him. I wasn't playing no music. I didn't know I'd play no guitar then. I was doing baritone. But then we had a guitar player, and that's when I knew I had to learn how to play guitar if I was going to sing, because I couldn't depend on no guitar to play behind me. You know what I mean? So I wanted to play, and so I would go to his house, and he would teach me, man. He would give me some milk, and we would, and the milk and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and I'd knock that out, and then we'd get to playing, and he'd teach me. So all these guys, man, they would do flips. They would do flips with the guitar. I mean, even the guitar, all the behind the back, between the legs and everything. I said, man, these some bad dudes, huh? And so that's when I wanted to play. And then I was thinking of a song. The lyrics don't come anyway, so I started writing the song, too. So I was writing down what I was thinking on, and I began to play a little bit. So here I am still doing it. what
yeah,
I
you
do.
Doing a great job. You're doing a great job. Indeed, you you had a lot of hit songs that put you out there on the map. Which ones were they? I want you to tell the world because I know what ones they are, but enlighten me.
Yeah. My first hit, the one really put me out there. Georgia Grind, and been so long, and I had songs in between, but then you know that the biggest one after that was really I got that will. I got that will, and Too Much for the Human Heart, and those songs that bust wide open, man, and I got a lot of play off that. So, and I had many other songs in between, you understand, that kept me going. In fact,
yeah,
I didn't really go to school now.
Go ahead.
I'm getting ready to go in the studio again soon. Why it's taking me so long? I got to make a decision on what I'm gonna record. You just can't go in the studio and start recording. You got to make a decision because there's a lot of money in this stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And you just don't record, and you're recording for you. Hell, you ain't gonna buy now a record.
Yeah.
You know, so
your number one hit. I'm gonna tell you another album that you did. You said you are too much for the human heart, right? And then yesterday, tomorrow.
Yesterday, now that's another song by me and Joe Tex. You see, come on, man, let's write a song together. So we stopped. We was coming from where we were staying in Alabama. We were staying in Alabama where my managers are. No, that wasn't there. Yeah, anyway, so we was coming from, I think the same coming from California. We worked out there so much. So we stopped in Lynette, Alabama, or Auburn, Alabama. I thought it was. One of the brothers said, no, it was Lynette, but I thought it was Auburn, Alabama. And we checked in this Howard Johnson. And so Joe wanted me to come to the room, and it was Punchy, and another guitarist called Punchy, Victor Vick, and it was my drummer, Ed, and Norman Thrasher, one of the greatest promotional man, boy, him and, yeah, I'm talking about, boy, these guys, boy, got the record play. And we sat in there, we come out with the song. But Joe almost had the song anyway because he was writing it about his girl, you know. So we sat there and we played the guitar and all that. And we put the song down. And then I recorded the song myself. And that was a good song there, a great song. Great song. It was about two inexperienced people. That's how it all began. And both of us loved each other, and we became the best of friends. But then, you know, but then you have to end up going your separate ways to find yourself. But then when you come back together, you know, I say, I know it's going to be big fun. You know, because you had a chance to get away and understand a whole lot of things we didn't, you know, when we were together. So now we're back together. Lord, is going to be big fun. This time we're going to make it all the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ain't taking no chances on this one.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you still going. You still have good health and you taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah, doing the best I can. Yeah.
Yes, so I pray you live to see 100 or 200 years so you could be like, you know what? I outlived the world. But yeah, because you came from, you was born in 1943. So that's a lot of history. You have a lot of history behind you. And a lot of people may even say that they have the experience that you had, other than the people that you've been around that came up around the time that you came up. Like Jesse James, got Gladys Knight, Bubba Knight, you got all them, then you got Chaka Khan, everybody. So you came up in all that era when music was music, when people loved to dance, loved to have fun. Yeah. Enjoy,
people don't slow dance no more. The slow dancing, that used to be the thing, boy. God, everybody want to do the booty grind and all that stuff there and all that. Ain't no, it's so different now, it's man.
Yeah. Like, baby, come on, let's dance. But yeah, we're going to have to get that feel back, because that's exactly where it's at. People want to have a good time. People want to hear good music. Yeah, they want to dance. But the ones that do want to do all that, they don't ever go out no more because of how things are now. So
Man, we used to have these good house parties. You can't have them no more. Somebody's going to shoot everybody in there. We used to have the house parties, boy, and you know, like Hank Brother come up with that song, there's a thrill on the hill, let's go, let's go, let's go. There's a party, so that's the way it was then, man, and we beat up, man, and dancing, and slow dragging, man,
everybody dancing,
they go
about tired and sleep, can't even dance no more.
Yeah, I tell you, man, everybody want to line dance. Well, they're about to cut that out, nothing too. They want to get in line dance, they want to go to the Buddha thing and shaking the fast. They were, man, wait a minute, man, ain't nobody hugging and kissing. Yeah, man, we had fun while with them little pretty girls, man, dancing with them girls, arms around their waist, man, I'm telling you. Boy, I'm telling you, that was beautiful, man. Yeah, that was beautiful. I'm doggone 50s and heck, I'm doggone Richard. Good God, and Miss Molly and all that stuff, boy. Yeah, I'm coming.
I'm back. Good Molly, Miss Molly.
Some heavy days, though.
Come on, baby. Let's do the twist. Oh, yeah, I came up in that era. I was in the radio station. Yeah. At the age of 5 years old, so I came up in the era of all that, so yes.
See, Hank Brother once wrote the twist, see, and he did it first. In fact, Hank Brother got the best version, but then, you know, the Jews got him, and all he did was Hank Brother's song, Let's Twist Again, like he did last summer. And come on, baby. And Hank Brother was doing somewhat of the dance himself. But Chubby Checker, when they put him out there, that's when it really broke. Hank was mad at first, but then he got that first check. He said, man, you want to record some more of my song? You can record some more of my song, buddy.
I know.
Yeah, that was the same.
Yeah, because when go ahead.
That was the same thing with George Benson. See the thing. You know, Bobby Womack. Bobby Womack did breathing, but he was singing. He was singing, so George Benson did you know, the guitar, and a bus wide open. And the thing is, at first Bobby Womack said, man, I don't like that man. You know, I don't like that man. And then his first check, that was more money he ever saw in his life. Bam! George Benson had them broke, boy, I'm talking about. Man, when George Benson did it, yeah, he knocked it out. Womack did it on across 110th Street, that album. But he wrote a song, so boy, listen. Man, he made more money he ever had, so they got him really going. He wrote a lot of songs, though. He wrote so many songs until he didn't have no songs himself to record. He had no wrote with Wilson Pickett and everybody. And then he started singing other people's songs like "Flying to the Moon" and all that stuff there. See, until he got himself back together. But last time I saw Cecil Womack, his brother, we was in Bakersfield, California, and Cecil, you know, and Mabel Wells, you know, that was his wife. My guy, Mabel Wells. So we were there, me and him and Joe and Cecil and Mabel Wells wasn't really saying nothing. And I wondered why she was so quiet. And after I found out, then she died. Bam. Then how'd I get her down like that? He said, man, she had throat cancer. Man, no wonder she wasn't talking. So, yeah, that's the way it is, boy. We got to keep in touch with each other. You look around, you give us a call, we won't be there.
Yeah.
So that's how that was, little old darling sister.
Yeah, but go ahead and give everybody your information, like your social media, how they can reach you and book you or do features with you. And I'll let you go because I know you've been on the air for a good little minute.
I've been there for a minute, yeah. Yeah, we've been rapping. Yeah, well, you know, you can find me on Facebook, but it won't be Herman Hitson. It won't be Herman Hitson. It'll be Baycar. That's really my last name. It's Herman Hitson Baycar. That's what it is. But you can find Herman Hitson anywhere else. But you can find the Baycar on Facebook.
And just in case nobody know how to spell it, it is HermonHitson. But the twister is he also went by Herman, and that's HermanHitson. That's when he was putting the regulator. Yeah, right?
Yeah,
I'm saying it right,
people,
right? Yeah.
Yeah, some people stick their head now, you know. But it's not an English name. It's Hebrew. You know, it comes from the Bible. It's the mountain. Mount Hermon. H-E-R-M-O-N. Mount. It's the same mountain where Jesus did his thing up there where he called Moses and Elijah. Yeah, you know, the come and all this stuff there. It's the same one. It's that snow Cap Mountain in Syria. You know, the top of the mountain always full of snow. And it'd be desert down on the ground. And so what it is, that snow keep things moist around it. You know, the Red Sea and all that stuff went across it. And so that was my name. It took me 28 years to find out. I thought I was spreading my name wrong, to tell you the damn truth, until this Jewish lady told me. This Jewish lady said, you got a good name. And she began to tell me about it, because I didn't know nothing about it. And she told me where to find it in the Bible and all that stuff, man. So that's when But a whole lot of people, you know, they mistaken to put an A in there because that's all they know. That's the English name, Herman.
Mm-hmm.
But
Herman Hitson. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So y'all Google him, you would see a lot of his history. You can Google Herman, and it's HermonHitson. So y'all make sure y'all Google and download his music, request his music on radio stations, and you know what I'm saying, to all the DJs, reach out to him, mix his music in with the new to the old, you know, do what y'all do. And I appreciate you doing this interview and everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I appreciate it myself, Don. I really do. I enjoy talking to you all the time, anytime. And I enjoy talking to the people, too, because we love the people. You see, that's why we keep going, because we love the people.
Yep.
And we can't do nothing without the people.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, that's good.
So we're going to play I Should Have Been Home by Herman Henson, okay? And we're going to do it like this.
Man, I gotta get out of here. I gotta hurry and get home.
Social media information again, how people can find you, and then I'm going to let you go, Herman, so you can finish your day out. I ain't going to hold you too long. This is the longest interview I had. I say this is the longest interview I ever had, but it was worth it because you have a long history, and that's why I said 3 o'clock, because I want to give you enough time to tell your story. So, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good. I enjoy talking about it. Bring back memories of me too. It's good to talk about things, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed it, and I thank you, you know, for playing my music, and I hope the public and the people who listening enjoy it, and the people that didn't listen, go tell them, you know how it was. And what Herman Hitchin did, he's still struggling. He's still doing the same thing. He's still playing his guitar, harmonica, and piano. He's still doing what he does, writing songs, so... And he's doing the best he can. He's trying to stay alive where he can write some more music for your ears.
Yes.
So I love you. I love you. I love the audience. I love you, Miss Chocolate, you know, for being so nice. You're my friend. I love you. I'm appreciated. Yep. All right.
All right. Well, y'all heard it right here from the man himself, the legendary Herman Hitchin. And make sure y'all Google him and make sure, you know, y'all pull up some of his music. His music is everywhere. And for all the music lovers that like, you know, R&B soul, the Southern soul, the kickback, the laid back, the music that really means, that tells a story, this is where you need to go, okay? So we're going to go ahead and hit it off with this. And like I said, the man himself, Herman Hitchin.
Man, I'm getting tired of this. These women steal, man, coming around. Killing your women. You can't even go to work, you come home. You got your woman and gone. The next time I go to work, baby, I'm taking my woman on the job with me. I said, the next time I go to work, girl, I'm taking my woman on the job with me. You better believe that. Cause they got no women stealers out there. They trying to steal. It's always the one can't find a woman of his own. Better believe that. There's always that creeping around man who can't find a woman of his own. But he'll come around and say some money in front of your woman. Yeah. If she ain't used the money, you have him gone. Goodbye, bye, baby. Yeah. I tell you what. I called some of my friends. We got to make a stand. We all came together. And we got down and made this plan. The next time we catch you sneaking around, buddy, we gonna put something on your head. I'm gonna tell you too, man. We ain't gonna call the police when we get to clean your head. I swear to you, boy, you don't wish you were dead. You better believe it now. Go to work, baby. Boy, I think I better take my woman on the job with me. Yeah. Ow! Ow! The next time I go to work, baby. Woo! I think I better take my woman on the job with me. You better believe it. Cause they got no women stealing out there. They hijacking, they kidnapping every man, woman they meet. Yeah. That goes in the back of the man.
over again, honey. Telling no same lie, 'cause all my friends trying to turn the whole world against me, honey. After you stole all of my money, but listen, I'll be back on my feet one day. They say, I got that will, gonna keep on pushing day by day. You can't keep a good man down. No, 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 you can't keep me down. Ooh, can't keep me down, no matter how hard you try. You better listen to what I say. Be hard, yeah. Leaving you alone, make a brand new start, baby. But there's gonna be a brighter day somewhere, and all your heartaches and tears, they won't be there. 'Cause you can't keep a good man down. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you try, you can do it, and all you wanna get, you can't keep me down. You took all my money and left me outside when 20 degrees in the winter. You wouldn't let me in.
Okay then, but we're gonna go ahead and you know, it is what it is, like history in the making. Everybody, you know, it's always good to know where the music really came from and how it started out. And a lot of people that still living and that live back in that time of era definitely understand the love for music. And a lot of people still want that love for the music and still looking for some good music. So I'm finna go ahead and play some more good music, because it's all about the music that came up before we was even born. Like, I'm a 79 baby, and I was able to be a part of that history because of my godfather, Cy Young, and my goddad, Charles Gere, and Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. And shout out to Kathy Hughes, because it wasn't for her opening up her radio stations all over the world, a lot of the artists that was wouldn't be having their music played to this day. Kathy Hughes is the reason a lot of the black artists was able to really get on radio. It was a hassle back then for our skin color to really get on mainstream radio back then. As a matter of fact, yes, you had something to say, Herman?
No.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so I would just let everybody know, back then it was like a real struggle for music like black, I'm not going to say black, I'm going to say colorful people, our colorful people to be able to get on radio back then. And Kathy Hughes opened up a lot of airway for a lot of people all over the world with Radio 1 and Urban 1. It was a good touch basis. But we are definitely appreciate Herman Henson for being on the radio station. And I'm not going to hold you too long, let you go ahead and go. And we're going to, I'm going to play this song that I know you remember.
Things to me.
Wow. Look at that.
Jesse, you done got me, Millie Jackson, out my bed. You know you're wrong. Because I know you.
Oh, whoa.
And you talk about you put your leg on my leg. What is wrong with you? Oh. Okay, tell me about it.
She came to my house and she laid in my bed.
Well.
She gave me the best love in the life. And told him what she's done. I messed around and fell in love. And now she's the one.
Going on here.
is wrong with this
picture? I never thought it could happen to me.
Got yeah, me now I know why.
Been tired of fishing in the sea.
Wait, wait a minute.
To step to the front.
Yes.
And to step to the back.
Hey,
and
that's for you.
I'm busted in the middle. And then I hit it on the back. I pull a crane on the thing. And my name is Jesse Gale.
My name on it.
Jesse James,
now
you know you weren't supposed to have this.
Cause you're my boo.
I got that peach flavored mapping here.
Oh, I got to put my brand on it.
Maybe you've been the wrong place.
It feels so right.
Cause I know my stuff is right.
I can't wait to get you home tonight.
I'm trying to help you, okay?
The way you move that thing, the way you back that thing up, is driving me crazy. I just can't get enough. Oh, I want you to know.
Attorney Antoine Davis.
Again, honey, telling them same lies, oh my friend, trying to turn the whole world against me, honey, after you stole all of my money. But listen, I'll be back on my feet one day, and out of your life, I'm gonna walk away. If you do wrong, woman, I'm gonna put you down. They calling me the biggest fool in town. But listen, no matter what they say, I got that will. Gonna keep on pushing day by day. You can't keep a good man down. No, 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 you can't keep me down. No matter how hard you try, you better listen to what I say. Yeah. I know it's gonna be hard, yeah. Leaving you alone, make a brand new start, baby. But there's gonna be a brighter day somewhere. And all your heartaches and tears, they won't be there. Cause you can't. I'm putting a man down. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you try, can't keep a
girls and boys and children of all ages. Yes, we definitely enjoyed Herman Henson, okay? And we definitely enjoyed his this interview with him. I definitely want everybody to definitely go Google this man, and you will see that his history is very deep in the music industry. And I definitely want everyone, to do that, request his music, download his music, screen his music. Hey, his music definitely going to be playing on here. So every time you hear, every time y'all download the song or download the show, y'all definitely helping out the artist. And you definitely helping out the radio station. So y'all stay tuned right here on WMQP 107.3. We only got 2 minutes to be live on air. And I really appreciate everybody that that been listening all over the world. Shout out to the overseas, everybody that's overseas, everybody that's in the U.S., in Canada, the islands, Mexico and all, everywhere. Everywhere all over the world. I really appreciate everyone for listening to the radio station and tuning in. And keep supporting the radio station. And don't forget, everybody vote for my radio station, WMQP 107.3 FM on Yo, that's YOATLRAPS.com. I'm on the fifth page. Scroll down till you see the radio station's list and vote for my radio station. And I really appreciate everyone. And thank you for being a great listener and supporting the station. I will see y'all tomorrow. Same time, same place. Y'all have a great weekend and enjoy your blessed sunny day, because it's sunny over here. So I hope it's sunny in your area as well. Love everyone, and y'all keep your heads up and be blessed, and always keep God first and never give up, because God always have an answer for your prayers, and always stop, you know, block all the negativity that's in your mind, because that's another way you can make yourself sick. Your mind is the way that controls your whole body. So if you keep your body positive, keep your body fresh, keep toxins away from you, you will always be healthy and you will stay living for a long time. Look at Herman Henson. He's still here and we blessed to still have him. Holla at your girl, Miss Chocolate. Love everybody. Thank you for tuning in.